not a dream that has been betrayed, but a realistic way of life. Well, hope is our motivation then. It is our instrument of innovation. Hope also should be an instrument of affirmation. We've got something to say, in a positive note, to affirm that ours is a faith of the gospel, the evangel, the good news, and it's something to talk about, something to proclaim. The church that I served in Orlando, in the last year or so before I left, we had introduced some contemporary forms of worship. Our associate ministers particularly had some skills in this, and I turned this particular part over to them, although I participated. We did some interesting things and had some good times experimenting in contemporary forms. One of the things they did, as perhaps you have done if you have used these forms, they changed the terminology. And instead of using the word sermon, they used the word proclamation. And I rather like that, for that's what we are here to do, to proclaim. And our faith is not something in terms of just a stilted formal statement like we think of a sermon, but a proclamation, something to say, something dynamic to proclaim. And the world that we live in today, dear friends, needs that kind of affirmation. God help you as you prepare in this place. So many splendid influences. As you reach into the past and use the treasures of our tradition, as you become a part of an endless line of splendor, that somehow you shall be able to affirm to our hungry, seeking, desiring world today something of the hope and triumph of God's way and His will. I was a chaplain during the Second World War and was in Europe. I was in France and Germany, ended up on VE Day in Czechoslovakia, stayed on in the Army of Occupation for almost a year. During that period, I was stationed in the industrial city of Linz, Austria, a beautiful city located on the Blue Danube. There, as you enter the great valley there, on the way down to Vienna, a place where Hermann Göring had his steelworks, a city which now lay mostly in ruins because of our bombing, because of the war. On our Easter there, our first Easter, I gathered a group of men up on a hilltop for an Easter sunrise service. We sang the Easter music, we proclaimed the Easter truth of the resurrection. And just as we were completing our service, we began to see some first gray lights of dawn. But even before the sun reached us there, just as we were getting through, a soldier cried out, "Look, chaplain." And there, over 25 miles away in the far western horizon, were the great snow-capped Austrian Alps. And somehow the sun's rays had caught those peaks before they had descended into our valley. And there they stood as a symbol, a mute testimony of the eternity of God, looking down upon this valley where the Habsburgs had fought their wars across the years. This valley where we had destroyed it now with our modern bombs. And as though saying, these hills had been here forever. And when man has ravaged his earth and torn up his valleys, these peaks remind us of the eternity of God. Well, that was our Easter message that year. Somehow transcending all of our destruction and our war, and our despair is the eternity of a God who is stronger than anything we do to our world. Tennyson says it for us. Our little systems have their day. They have their day and cease to be. They are but broken lights of thee, and thou, O God, art more than they. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we do affirm our faith, and we're grateful that thou hast given to us some good news. Help us to proclaim it. With earnestness and zeal, give to us a sense of compassion, a sense of urgency, a sense of thy great mission as we proclaim thy word through Christ our Lord. Amen.